But what is Moorish man? Not man, Moorish man. We're Moorish Marmon.
Yep.
We're Moorish men, but this is about magazine on RTR.
Yakai, good morning. Aloha, this is Jim and Nick on Moorish Mag here on RTR FM and Noongar Radio. Thanks for joining the show. A bit cold out there, Nick.
It is a bit nippy there, Jim. Good morning, listeners.
Well, in fact, it wasn't for me early in the week. I was in Darwin where it's 31 degrees.
Oh, you had to bring that up, yeah.
It was such a nice change to be in good warm weather. Not too humid like it usually is.
Mm-hmm.
Good clean air. And had an amazing feed of chili crabs.
I guess we feel for that heat at certain times of the year when we have a little bit too cold. Everything. Oh, I love a little bit more warm. But and anyway, you've enjoyed it. Now you're back here, and Makari season back in Noongar country. So
yep,
welcome back to the cold.
And people are saying, "Well, shut your mouth! How can you talk about heat when we're 60 degrees and freezing down here?" But I mean, the other side was it was a national forum on redress, which was not a good subject, and redress is always conjures up what it actually means, because it is a compensation for children that were abused in care, and most of those children now are in their 60s and 70s. And an amazing statistic, Nick, 31% of the victims now who are accessing redress, and there's over 10,000 of them, 31% are Aboriginal. 31% are Aboriginal. Mm. So given we're less than 3% of the population, it's...
We really outnumber them in that state, eh?
So I guess, what does that say? It says a lot of things about the level of trauma that our communities carry,
mm-hmm.
because we now know, and we say it far too often, that trauma is passed down to ongoing descendants and next generations, which is really sad, and that's been proven around the world now. And in fact, a scientific medical term is epigenetics, and DNA being transferred down, which our guest on today will probably comment on, because he just finished telling us that he spent 4 years on the road with his play called Heart.
Heart.
So, and he's come on board today to talk about a 4-year production where he co-wrote with Chris Isaacs a play called York. So we're going to be inviting Ian Michael onto the show. An amazing young person. I suppose he's not so young anymore, but when he did Heart, he was a young person. Well, we can't say old either.
I mean, no, he's at the prime of his of his life at the moment.
He is. He's getting all embarrassed because he's in the studio with us, and we'll call him in after this song. But welcome to Moorish Mag here on our 50th podcast coming up or thereabouts. And if you miss the show, you go to our RTR FM 92.1. website and check out what we've covered in the past. We were at an amazing show last week, even if I say so myself, about the reconciliation event and Dreamtime. I can't say at the O or the
no,
G. It's the Dreamtime at Perth.
Yeah, in Perth.
And we've got something to say about the publicity we got in the National Indigenous Times, but we'll talk about that a little later. Oh, yes. Welcome back to Moorish Mag, and our guest in the studio is Ian Michael. Good morning, Ian.
Kaya, good morning.
Hey, lovely to have you on the show. Now, who do we have on the radio just then? That was Natasha.
That was Natasha.
A lovely song.
Because of Her We Can, from the NAIDOC theme a year or two ago.
Before last year. And she did a great song around the truth of the heart,
Uluru Statement.
Uluru Statement.
Yes.
She had done a song around that.
Oh,
so
lovely.
Anyway, let's not take up too much of Ian Michael's time because he's a busy, busy man. Welcome.
Welcome,
Ian.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for taking the time. I couldn't resist it when Irene from Black Swan rings me this week and says, "Hey, listen, we got this amazing young man." And I totally agree that you're an amazing young man, because I saw your previous rendition or the previous play, Heart, which... You've told me that you toured for 4 years, but go on, Nick.
Just hold on there, Jim. We're going to do this. We're going to do this the proper way.
We're going to
do this younger way.
Do it proper way.
Ian Michaels, just let our audience know who you are and who's your mob and where you're from.
Yeah, I'm Ian Michael. I'm a Wilma Noongar man. My dad's side of the family's all down from Narrogin, Collie. So the Michaels, the Harts, the Ugles, anybody, any Noongar down south and probably related to or connected to in some way.
Oh, welcome to Munich Mag.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. I tend to forget my place and Nick as my cultural authority and advisor and elder. I've got to say he's my elder because he's local, you see, mm-hmm. and Wajak. So he puts me in my place every time because I just get carried away.
Yeah.
Now listen, you mentioned a whole swag of names there. Ask Nick where he's mob. Who is mob? Where he come from? Because he'll tell you every family.
My mob is Wajak, Ballardong, Wilman, Kayang, Gorang, Bindurup,
yep.
and Redani, and of course my Ngunyas through Kayang, Gorang, and Menang, and the places down there. So pretty much in our country, but the towns you've mentioned, Narrogin, that's where I met my wife over 40 odd years ago, and of course. Before then, we had a lot of time travelling between Narrogin and Collie through to the family runs and that stuff. So I'm very familiar with your country and, of course, your people and of course, your dad. Because it took me a while. That name rings a bell.
Yes, he did. We were having coffee down the road and he said, yeah, I know that fella. And look, I feel like an orphan now because I'm just Gorang Menang.
Never mind.
Sometimes I want to be an orphan too because I've got so many relations.
True.
But not as many as you, Nick, I've got to say.
Well,
yeah.
It's Noongar Nation's a big nation. We're all connected one way or another.
Yeah, okay, enough of talking about ourselves. We can't do that now. We're on radio. True. We've got a guest here and we've got to pay respect to him, Ian Michael. Glad to hear who your mob is now. Mm. Some of my in-laws or some of our relations are married into Ugles and some are married into Michael. So, we're all connected somewhere along the line, eh?
Big web.
So tell us about York first, because we'll come back and there's a number of things on your plate at the moment.
Mm.
You sound like you're pretty busy.
Yeah.
Well, as long as your name's not Bob Burnt Out Black, because that's what we are. Tell us about York.
Yeah, York is a play written by Chris Isaacs and myself. It's inspired by 200 years of real accounts set on Ballardong Budja, and it takes place in and around an abandoned hospital. So it's the old York Hospital, as we know it now. And at the beginning of the play, we see a couple moving into the hospital and they're renovating it to make it a home. And quickly and early on, we start to understand and we peel back the layers through the eyes of one of the characters of all of the things that had happened in that hospital during the 1980s and the 1910s. And then we reverse time further to before the hospital was there, and it's about invasion and colonization. And the play, I think, really focuses a lot on how the past reverberates through our present day and what will happen if we don't listen to that past and truth into the future. It's a really interesting play in the way that it, I think all of these stories are really familiar of telling stories of this country, but we've broken the play up into four sections and in each section has a different kind of genre form. And it reverses time, so we start off in 2021 and we reverse time to 1989 to 1919 and then to 1830 when the York settlement was established. And then
flashback.
Flashbacking time and then forwarding time, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting then. Yeah. Oh, wow. So, and some of the talent in the show?
Yeah.
It's yourself, obviously.
No, I'm just one of the writers. It's my first ever commission.
You're writing yourself out of it, Jim.
My first commission ever for a major theatre company, and so I have always wanted just to write it and give it away to people. Mm-hmm. And it's in some very, very capable hands. We've got some of the best actors in the country in this one. And they're just... We're only in a week two of rehearsal, and the work that they've put into this already on the floor is incredible. And a lot of them we've been working with since the first development in 2018. So we've been working together as a collective of people for a long time.
Well, I'm sad to hear that you're writing yourself out. That
I know. I gave myself a job away.
Actually, he's writing himself in there into the creations of the Noongar oral history.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at that, I mean, the guys on radio can't see that, but that's storytelling and how the stories have been passed down.
Mm.
So you're doing it in a modern theme, but you're telling the old stories.
Yeah.
And that's very powerful for me.
Yeah, it's been such an amazing opportunity because over the 4 years of making it, a lot of that research and kind of finding these stories was just kind of going through articles and documentaries and books and things like that. But it's been the past 2 years that we've been able to sit with Belladong elders and just listen to their stories and their experiences of what it was like to live through those moments in which the play presents. And mm-hmm. so actually I think the moment that we were able to, that they welcomed us in, was I think the moment that the play found its story.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I'm just watching the time now because you've got other commitments. And
you would have then did an audition for people, or did you go out and target people for the role? How did that happen?
We were really lucky. Claire Watson, who's one of the directors with Ian Wilkes, on the play, they said to us, what actors do you have in mind? And so we picked the actors that we have loved watching on stage and love working with. So we have some of Perth's best actors in the play. It's a collaboration with the WAU Theatre Company, so there's some young people in the play also. And so we got to handpick them, and we had them in the first development in 2018, and it's been really lovely as a writer to think about these actors with their voices as we've written it over the past 3.5 years with them.
Wow. So this is kicking off when?
It starts its first previews on the 10th of July.
So that's during NAIDOC week?
NAIDOC week, yeah.
Right. Okay. So as I said earlier, we're probably not going to get time for you to talk about the Marley Fest, given your time schedule and other things that you've been involved in. Because I mentioned Heart earlier, and you did 4 years on the road, which was just amazing. So tell us more then about York, and are you able to tell us who you've chosen to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a cast of 10.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's a huge cast, and throughout the entire play, all of the actors play multiple characters.
Mm-hmm.
So every actor has a different character in each section of the play. So it's a massive. It's Sharina Kelanton, who lots of people know from Wentworth and Redfern Now, Maitland Schnars, who was in Hecate, young Noongar boys Benjamin and Jacob Narkle are in the play, Alison Van Rieken, who Black Swan audiences will know and love. Joe Morris, the same. Ben Mortley, who was in McLeod's Daughters. Isaac Diamond, Sophie Quinn, Elise Wilson, who are young, up-and-coming Perth actors. And I think that's everybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of talent there.
A lot of talent. It's quite overwhelming how much talent's in the room, actually.
Wow. Well, Sharina and Maitland have been in your studio in that seat where you were sitting.
Great. I can feel them.
Not together. Not together, but they were both. In fact, Maitland came from one of those other productions. I guess we're not allowed to talk about that. But you mentioned Sharina and her work on Wentworth and Redfern Now. And we only had it. No, I tell a lie. We had her by telephone. She didn't come in. She was here in spirit.
In spirit.
So starting on the 10th of July, is that the Friday?
That's a Saturday, which is the second day of Marley Festival, actually.
Yes.
Second day of Marley Festival.
Are you able to come back and talk about Marley?
Absolutely.
Some other time in the future? As I say, we're going to run out. So tell us, what really inspired you then for this York production?
Yeah, it came to us from Claire Watson, who's the artistic director. She'd just moved to Perth and was discovering towns and places in WA, and she'd come across two stories, one about the York Hospital, which has a history and is famous for hauntings and youth groups going and being and seeing a matron, a ghost of a matron, and another story about the two Noongar men who we tell in the fourth section of the play. So we had these two points, and who these two men were found guilty in an unfair trial for the murder of a white woman and her baby. And so those were the two reference points we went into making this work. And all the other sections were the ones that we'd found by listening to the elders and through all of these countless trove articles and documentaries. So, yeah, it's been a massive, it's taken massive work that it's gone through so many different iterations, and we've ended up here.
Mm.
And the script is still changing every day, which is quite amazing that we've got these amazing actors and brains and hearts in the room that are every single day picking it apart and just elevating it and making it evolve, which is really beautiful.
I think it'll be interesting just listening to the and watching the the two younger men that were found in an unfair trial and that stuff there to be found guilty of a murder that theoretically they didn't commit.
Mm.
It'll be interesting to watch that.
Yeah.
And see that comes across.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's an isolated story.
No, it's not. And I think the beautiful but the painful and the thing that makes me quite angry is that we talk about this story that happened in 1830 about unjust trials and deaths in custodies, and when I talk about the play reverberating through time, I think we're still in the same position that we were 200 plus years ago in this country, where we're still dealing with injustices on our own land.
That's right. Even today, yes.
Yeah, it's I feel it's really important and a vital piece of theatre, which is also really funny and full of jump out of your seat moments, lots of ghosties and things like that. But that, yes. Yeah, that story of those two men being hung on the side of that crime, which, you know, I don't believe they did it, is a play that's common. It's all too common now for our people.
Well, Ian, the play starts on the 10th of July and goes through to the 1st of August. What's that, three weeks?
Three and a bit weeks, yeah.
Right, that's amazing. And it's on at the...
Heath Ledger Theatre.
Heath Ledger Theatre. Do we call that State Theatre? Is it the State
Theatre? State Theatre Centre, WA, and then it's in the Heath Ledger Theatre, which is the big one inside.
And obviously tickets, usual places, Ticketmaster or...
through Black Swan, bsstc.com.au.
Wow. Look, I'm... I'm really inspired, and
thanks.
And as I say, I enjoyed your previous play, but we're going to invite you back because the Mali Festival is coming up around about the same time.
Yeah.
So if you've got the time to sort of stick your head in again next week, we'd love to have you on in the show.
I would love that. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, thanks for coming in and talking about York, the production that's starting on the 10th of July and going through the 1st of August at the State Theatre. Been a real hoot having you on board.
Pleasure. Thanks so much.
Keep up the good work there, Ian.
So I might just finish off by just giving a little bit of a summary here on what York is a bold, original work that confronts us with our past. It's our way of sharing stories and create brave and playful conversations for you, about you, with you. It's unique, funny and compelling piece of theatre that everyone in West Australia needs to see.
Wow.
Come and see it.
Okay.
You're listening to the Mordich Mag podcast on RTRFM 92.1.
Gina has been on the show many times. Has been a friend of Mordich Mag, and yes, and sadly couldn't be available today for a live broadcast. But these people are getting busier and busier. We're going to have to start recording interviews, Nick.
How do we record there, Jim? That's technology,
well,
you know.
It is. We'll work that out. I mean, the Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, Stephen Dawson, has been threatening to come on board and be threatening to be pre-recorded, but, we just haven't had the capacity to do any of that. So, and talking about awards, my niece Della Ray Morrison has won an award, and we got her on the show, little lady, Nick.
Yeah, little lady. She's going to come and talk about her award and the work that she's doing, and hopefully Dobbin, if you are the mob out there, that are doing some great work out there as well.
Well, yeah, we occasionally get the arts in, and it's been an arty thing. And as we've already learnt, we've had Sharina Clanton in, and Maitland
Snars
for the work they've done. So, yeah, if you've just tuned in, this is Mordich Mag. We're not just talking about ourselves. We're talking about a whole range of people that have been winning awards recently. Last week we talked a great deal about the football.
Oh, yes, the big moment of Dreamtime in Perth, yeah.
Yes. And yes, of course, I've been in Darwin, and I watched the game while I was up there.
I know you watched a game up there.
I watched a game on the TV.
On the TV, okay. Yeah, yes.
The team that won the Dreamtime game.
Oh, that
team. They got beaten by a West Coast team.
Oh, okay. Which got beaten by the opposition in the Dreamtime game.
Yes,
isn't it? Okay.
It's just a round, and we're confusing people now, but sorry to confuse people, but it was a great comeback by the West Coast Eagles, I've got to say, against the Premiers from last year. So I think certain people like Dennis Committee called it arrogant, and I mean, there are a lot of media people that we should be calling arrogant, and sadly one passed away, Howard Sattler. And there's been some great write-ups about...
Well, he's done a lot of great work out in the community and stuff there for some of the things that he's advocating for. But
he led a rally at Parliament House, sort of coming down on victims of crime. Mm-hmm. And I suppose a lot of people would honour him for that.
Yes,
I mean the man has a lot. There's a lot to be said about the man himself, but we also should acknowledge too that he lost a case at the Human Rights Commission for discriminatory behaviour. And was actually fined $10,000 had to pay $10,000 for four individuals for discrimination, Nick. So that was something that the media haven't portrayed him as well, dare I say, racial discrimination.
Well, I guess that's a true fact, but it's a sad fact as well. Mm. And it's sad that condolences to the family and stuff there. But yeah, it's just sad to be able to talk about things like that there.
Yep, so true. So we've we know that he contravened the Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Commission, and the case was found that Sattler and 6PR had breached Section 18C of the Racial Discrimination Act. And there was a number of people testified, and they were ordered to pay each of the five Indigenous complainants $10,000 each in damages. So, they called him the shock jock, and he certainly was a shock jock, and said it how he wanted to say it. And I guess sometimes that gets you into trouble too. And I guess we should be wary of some of the things we're saying too, Nick.
Yes, because with whatever privilege you have, there's responsibility that comes with it.
There is. So, as we said, we've got Delaray Morrison, my niece, who's coming on the show a little later, and British Mag here on both RTR FM and Noongar Radio 92.1. Yeah, you're listening to RTR FM, and we've got a guest on the show. Nick's invited Delaray Morrison. Good morning, Nick.
Hi.
Good morning, Della.
We'll get it right there, Delaray. How are you? Good morning. Welcome to Moodich Mag on RTR FM and also on Noongar Radio, which is repeated again. Thank you.
Hello, my niece. Lovely to hear your voice and talk to you. It's been a long time. It seems like a long time.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone.
Well, Delaray, I know you've been on here before, but we might have some new audience out there that may not know who Delaray is. So if you don't mind letting them know who's Delaray, who's your mob and where you're from, and then you can tell them all about what you've been up to recently.
Well, Nick, she's my niece.
I know. That's a big start. Everybody knows you now. So
you go for it, Del.
Kaya, kaya, Ngangkwel Delaray Morrison, Nidja, Ngang Dvoman Willeman Yok. I'm a Southwest Dvoman woman from the Southwest. I was born in Narrogin. My family is Morrison, Hart, Parfitt, Coin, Lou, Big Mob. thanks for having me.
Yeah, probably related to our previous guest, which was Ian Michael, came in and talked about his production, York, coming up. So welcome to the show, and big congratulations from the mob here at RTR FM on your achievements just of recent times. And that's why Nick's got you in to have a yarn and tell us about these achievements.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yeah, what a shock, huh? Big surprise. Best Female Actor 2021 for Hecate. Yuriyaka production of Hecate for the Perth International Arts Festival in partnership with Bell's Shakespeare.
Wow.
Yes, amazing. I'm still shocked. I'm basking in it. I'm having a great week.
So name the award again and who sponsored it. Was it part of an overall... were there several awards associated with this? I must say,
oh,
I missed it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Hecate took out, I lost count, but it's Best Production, Best Director, Yuriyarkin, Production of Yuriyarkin and Bell Shakespeare, so it was Best Production, Best Director, Carly Bracknell, Best Sound Design, Clint Bracknell. Best Actor nominee was Maitland Schnars.
What was his name again?
Maitland Schnars was Best Actor nominee. My cousin, brother, boy, Kyle Morrison, took Best Supporting Actor. Mm-hmm. We cleaned up. Mark Howlett was Best Lighting Design. Mm. And Cesara Kriti Schnars, this is all off the top of my head, took home Best Supporting Actor and Best Upcoming, a newcomer. So Oh, geez, I hope I covered it all.
Well, wow. You certainly did. And you mentioned names of Maitland is going to appear in York starting up at, or the production York on Saturday of NAIDOC week. So your performance then.
Ian Wilkes
also. Oh, Ian Wilkes, yes. Of course. Yes.
Yep. I can't forget that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's some famous people amongst our Noongar community. So tell us about the role you played that achieved this award as part of the Performing Arts WA Awards.
Well, I played the part of Hecate in the show Hecate, otherwise known as Hecate. I mean, there's a whole lot of different ways of pronouncing it. And Hecate was a smaller character in the Shakespeare production Macbeth, the Scottish play that you're not meant to mention the name of.
Oh, right.
So Kylie Bracknell and Kyle Morrison... they have been working on this talking about it for at least 10 years. And then we have been in production or pre-production rehearsals, workshops for the past 5 years. We would meet once or twice a year learning our language all together and obviously learning Shakespeare and getting our head around the language of Shakespeare. So it's been, a long time production, pre-production to get to where we are.
Mm. And Della, of course, the whole thing around Shakespeare was performed in the language of Noongar, the First Nation people, yes?
The whole hour and a half was in Noongar language.
Right. Yeah. So that would have been a challenge and really quite, as you say, you've come back here once a year to sort of remember, and I guess with all of that, you're speaking the language quite often, as you were when you came onto the show, but... Wow, that would have been an amazing feature. Was it a sellout in Western Australia? And are you going to go on tour?
Who are you calling sellout? Nah, it was sold out. Every production was sold out, and we had standing ovation every show, basically. It was epic to say the least. Yeah.
Okay, we're talking to Della Rae Morrison. Yes, she's my niece. Yes, same name.
Yes.
Performing Arts WA Awards and her role in Hecate, which, as Della's pronounced, was part of what was originally Macbeth. And Hecate was Hecate was the witch, wasn't she?
She was the queen of the witches.
There you are.
So, otherwise, some people see her as Hecate, the goddess.
Right.
But I think my role was more like to control the mischief makers, the little mischief makers. So she was the queen of the witches.
So what's the future now for this play? Is it coming back to Perth or is it going on tour? What's the future?
We're meant to be doing, Australian, New Zealand tour to UK and things like that. But then we went into lockdown. That was last year. And now there's plans. Those plans will still go ahead, hopefully for next year. Not really sure yet where the world lies. Hopefully next year we'll be touring the show.
Yes, I guess that those lockdowns and lack of transport in and out of Australia is probably going to put a dampener on things, and we don't know when we're going to come out of that. But I'm pretty certain that the world will be more enlightened once that the borders get opened up, and you and the crew can go out to the rest of Australia and beyond to be able to, just. Produce that Noongar language back out into a play that they're maybe more familiar with, but using it in a different language, and as Jim mentioned, and the First Nations people language of Noongar country. Well done.
We do want a tour of the Southwest first, and Western Australia, and then the rest of the country. So that's a plan.
A good plan. Yeah. Thank you. Mm.
Well, listeners to RTRFM, you're hearing from Della Rae Morrison, who's just won an amazing award for translation of a Shakespearean play, Macbeth, and called Hecate. So, Della, thanks for being on the show. You've been on Moorish Mag many times now, so you've become a friend, and we'll expect you to respond when we call you to say we want you on the show, and you've got to say yes, Uncle. So thank you. Thank you for being on the show. Yeah, no pressure.
Thank you for all your support.
No worries. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for being on the show. You. So there you go. My niece, Stella, telling us all about the Hackett and the Perth Performing Arts Awards, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the Mortich Mag podcast on RTRFM 92.1.
There's been a bit said in the Aboriginal media, Nick, about so much black talent overlooked.
Yes.
And we, you know, we obviously celebrate it for our 1 hour a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that happens a lot on a radio station like RTR that have had the courage to do Welcome to Country. And Nick yourself played that role extremely well.
Thank you.
I think we should.
I think it's an important educational tool for many West Australians and Perth people out there that may not understand or get the here and understand the knowledge of the land that they're on,
which is what,
and ancient history.
Oh yeah, I mean, when we talk about black talent, we do that here quite deliberately because we want to portray our community in a very positive light to our listeners here on RTRFM and, of course, Noongar Radio. But when you ask people to name some black women in sport, they tend to use the same old names, same old, same old, same old, you know, like Cathy Freeman, and now there's Ash Bartley and others. And talk in the past tense. Is this the fault of the media? Is there enough representation of women in sport in general? Well, there is. Black women are everywhere, and they figure very well, Nick, in netball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just seems to be, you know, they only drag out the black names when it's sort of Reconciliation Week, and they're not acknowledged as regular as they should. Take Super Netball, for example. We have Gemma Maimai, who is currently the only active Indigenous player, and prior to this we have only had two black women who play in the national team. And, you know, we mentioned Ash Bartley as the first Indigenous Australian woman in over 46 years to win the French Open after Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley. So are our women getting a raw deal, Nick?
It appears that way, Jim. It appears that way. There's so much talent out there, and for some reason, you know, it just doesn't get the, support or the recognition that it deserves to take it to the next level. And it's frustrating sometimes when you can see it and you wonder why. Hang on, how come these particular ladies with that particular talent cannot get the support that they deserve to get them to the next levels? Whereas, you know.
Well, yes, and as we, you know, opened up our song today, and it was Natasha Eldridge singing about women and portraying them in a light that is, yeah, as we've said, I think they're getting a raw deal. And NAIDOC week, the year before last, it was about women and honouring women, and we do that all in a very positive way.
You're listening to the Mortich Mag podcast on RTRFM 92.1.
Welcome back to Mortich Mag. We're just yarning here about what we yarned about last week, Nick, and that was our recollection of the big game and Michael Long saying that every Dreamtime should be in Perth. I think if I get the message right, he wants to see it run here every year. That's an amazing, amazing.
Well, it's amazing admission and a statement and stuff, and it was really reflective of how the community come out, you know, the West Australian and the Perth community come out to support it.
Mm. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And also understanding what the long walk was about, and it's about that disadvantage that people have been talking about for a long, long, long time. And we seem to be making very, very slow progress in that positive direction.
True. And then another smack in the face is, the way it's been portrayed in media is, and Ben White defends his Rio role amid fury from so many leaders around the country. Aboriginal leaders across Western Australia have voiced their dismay at the appointment of former Treasurer and Aboriginal Affairs Minister Ben White to the Rio Tinto Board.
Well, it sounds like a conflict of interest from the position that he was in as Minister for Indigenous Affairs, and to be able to sign off on a Section 18 that allow the destruction of that site, and then to go to that company as a director too soon.
The same company that destroyed the sacred site.
Yeah, it just doesn't sit well with, I guess saying a terminology that I don't really like, but saying a terminology that our current Prime Minister talks about, and says, you know, it wouldn't pass the pub test.
No, and you know the destroying of Juukan Gorge, and I mean, you've had a comment here from Dorinda Cox, Noongar Yamaji woman Dorinda Cox, about you know, the minister appointed, and she wasn't positive about that. Pat Dodson also was critical. So it'd be interesting to see how that pans out. But Mr. White has since appeared on NITV's Appoint to do damage control, is what this media is saying, and highlighting the achievement for an Aboriginal person to get the opportunities on the board of an organisation like Rio, like Woodside. He also said in order to create change in organisations, you've got to be on the inside.
And that is a true statement. But what is the, just from my thinking, what is the ultimate goal of the board of a company like that? And that's to make profits for their stakeholders.
Yeah, so true. Well, you're listening here to...
But hopefully you can make a change.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're going to
live
in
that. Well, who knows? I guess we've got to be positive about the man himself. I mean, yes. He spent all those years in politics and did very well as Treasurer and then Aboriginal Affairs Minister. And we've been talking about Stephen Dawson for a while now. We're going to have to get him on the program. You know, his secretary has offered some times, but we're going to have to do a pre-record, Nick.
Well,
we're going to have to learn how to do a pre-record, Nick.
So he promised to come on, did he?
Yeah,
he promised to come on. Okay. Well, I was at a breakfast recently with and he talked about the reconciliation, and you know, it's got to be more than words. So here you go, Mr. Dawson. It's got to be more than words. Come in and have a yarn with us.
Yes. Well, I think he will, because he was previously Disability Services Minister. And so we'll get him on board. So this is Moorich Mag on RTR FM, Noongar Radio 100.9. Thank you for listening in. It's great to have your company listening in to Moorich Mag, award-winning Moorich Mag, Nick. We've got to remind our listeners that we're national award winners.
It's funny how you sort of slip that in every week, don't we? But, you know, it's great to be recognised beyond the boundaries of our local stuff and that there, of what we do, and, you know, what a lot of other people do. Kobe Morrison also won one of the awards the other night. Just got to acknowledge him and go, well done for it.
Delaray's son, my niece's
part
son.
Of the art.
Okay. Oh. Look, we've got to say goodbye. This is Moorich Mag on RTR FM. Thanks for being on the show, and join us again next week here on 92.1.
Hopefully we can talk to you again next week.